To Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to pick up where we left off last Wednesday night. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read again verse 18 where we started last week and read down to verse 21. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Father, I come to you tonight and I ask you, Lord, again to speak as only you could speak through your Spirit to us. And Lord, the words of man are useless, but your word is always profitable. It always encourages us. It lifts us up. It builds us up. It helps us, Father, to see more and more who you are. And I know you want us to submit completely to you. And so, Lord, just help us do that. It's a difficult thing when we're so selfish sometimes. And yet, Lord, I know that your plan for us is good. And you will empower us, and you will provide all that we need if we'll just but ask of you. Lord, I just thank you that your word tells us that if we'll call on you, you will answer us, and you will show us great and mighty things which we can't even comprehend. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we talked about verse 18 specifically, and to just give you a little bit of a recap about that. If you read the first part, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. In other words, we talked about how giving ourselves over to anything other than the Lord means that we're filling ourselves up with something other than the Lord. And, in this particular instance, it's talking about wine or alcohol or whatever else, but anything that can take control of us rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of us. And we saw the misconceptions of that because a lot of people, don't even see that that's an issue or a problem, but it is. The meaning of being filled with the Spirit means keep on being filled. And the means of it is by our surrender to the Holy Spirit, surrendering ourselves to Him, and standing in the Holy Spirit Himself. The second part of verse 18 says, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want a part of the Holy Spirit. I don't want most of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, a lot of people think being filled with the Spirit means you do all kinds of crazy things and you roll around on the floor and you jump the pews and you hold snakes up in the air and whatever. You know, that is not being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is totally different than what a lot of people even believe it is. But he uses a metaphor when he's speaking to the church at Galatia. And if you want to turn over with me to that in Galatians chapter 5, I believe I also have it on the screen. I have to go the other direction, sorry. Went the wrong way. Took a right when I should have took a left. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. So I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, let's just stop there for just a second. If you're walking in the Spirit, then there's no way that you're going to walk in the flesh. So you're not going to gratify your own desires, your personal desires. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, Paul says, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified in the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So, in other words, Paul is saying, I want you to understand the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in Christ, walking in the Spirit. See, the problem is a continual walk. There are some times that I believe I'm walking in the Spirit, but there's sometimes I'm walking in my spirit. It's consistency. It means keeping our eyes fixed on Him all day, every day. And you know what, folks? That's not an easy thing to do. Because there are so many distractions in our lives. There's so many things that we think are important. There's so many things that pull at us and push us and all the other kinds of things. That's the problem. The pitfall is that literally there is a war inside of us. So if you go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and you look at verse 17, go back up there, it says, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." The pitfall in us in Galatians chapter 5 tells us that there is a war inside of us. And in fact, in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 17, it talks about that as well. It says, "I do not understand what I do." And this is Paul writing. He says, "For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, and I agree that the law is good as it is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin living in me." So in other words, there's a pitfall in our lives if we allow sin to continue to sit on the throne of our lives. And so we begin to see the fruit of our flesh. The fruit of our flesh, it talks about this in verses 19 through 21. Do we have that on there? Oh, we don't have that on there. Okay, let me go back to that Galatians. Sorry. I thought I had it on there. My bad. Okay, so it talks about them. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. In other words, he says, listen, these are all fruit of our flesh. These are all things that come from our selfish desires. That's what the flesh is. The flesh means anything that I want. But there is freedom in the Spirit. There is freedom in God's Spirit. And He allows us to understand that when we start to walk in Him. In verse 18, right before that, it says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." In other words, the law doesn't need to even be held into account at that point because you're following the Spirit. And if you're following the Spirit, you're going to keep the law. You're going to go by the law because the law is never against what God says. Does that make sense? And then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, goodness. All of those things are the fruit of the Spirit. And These are characteristics of whether we're following ourselves in the flesh or we're following the Spirit. Those things manifest themselves in our lives. So the command for us is to be filled with the Spirit. That's what it says in verse 18 back in Ephesians 5. It says, but don't be controlled by wine, or don't be controlled by debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. We are to be filled by the Spirit. So here's the characteristics of a person who is filled with the Spirit. First of all, there's an inward result. One of the very first things that happens, and it's right here in this passage, one of the very first things that happens is when we're filled with the Spirit, we have a joy in our heart of praise. A joyful heart of praise. Now, if you're around somebody and they're always down and they're always griping and they're always angry and they're always mad and they're always sad and they're always all that kind of stuff, guess what their heart is not full of? It's not full of joy. You see, we're to rejoice in the Lord always. How often? And again, I say rejoice. We're supposed to be joyful people. It's interesting to me how many times I can, from my perspective, where I sit and watch people singing hymns and singing choruses and all this, you know, seeing faces that don't seem all that joyful. It's a sad thing. It's just an obvious outward expression of what's in the heart. You see, the inward result is a joyful heart of praise. There's the cause for praise. Listen, folks, we ought to be singing praise as an expression of our hearts. Because whatever's in our heart's going to come out. James 5, the one who always speaks directly, 13 says, is anyone happy? Is anyone happy, by the way? Let them sing songs of praise. Not just sing songs. Sing songs of praise. In other words, it ought to make you so joyful as you sing these hymns or choruses to God in praise to Him. Singing praise is an expression of our heart. A new heart has a new song. What does it mean to have a new heart? It means God has changed everything on the inside of us. And so we begin to see things from a different perspective, His perspective. So here's some scriptures and psalms that talk about that. Psalm 40 verse 3 says, He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Why? Because I have a new song. You see, people aren't drawn to people who are dogmatic and religious and pounding everything and saying, you got to do this and you got to... They're not drawn to that. I'm not drawn to that. I'm drawn to people who just love the Lord so much and they can't wait to tell you about it. About what God's doing in their life. Psalm 96 verse 1, sing to the Lord, new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. You know, it's amazing to me, and I've said this multiple times, I'll say it again probably till I can't say anything else. It's amazing to me how people get so wrapped up in, like, sports. And man, they'll pack out a stadium, and somebody takes a piece of leather and throws it through the air, and somebody else catches it, and they cross the line. The whole place goes crazy. They go nuts. You know, they're throwing the babies in the air and screaming and hollering and everything else you can think of. I mean, they're going crazy. You get them in a church the next Sunday and they're going... They're not happy at all. They're not excited at all. They're just there. We are to sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Psalm 149:1 says, praise the Lord. Whoops, go back one. There, it's on the bottom. Can you go back one there? There you are. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of His faithful people. That's why we do this. We don't sing just because it's something we have on our agenda. We sing because we love the Lord and we want to praise Him together. Corporate praise. Now listen, folks, some of you might think, well, I don't need to sing out loud because I know what I sound like when I sing out loud. But the fact is this, folks, God is not grading anybody on their voice quality. Thank the Lord. He's not. He's looking at your heart the whole time. All He hears is your heart. And if you're worried about that, make up for it in your quiet place and just sing as loud as you want to. We need to be praising the Lord. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. By the way, you can either praise Him now or you'll be praising Him later. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. With your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's what Jesus has done for us. I tell you what, folks, that ought to make us want to praise. But unfortunately, there's so many people sitting there going, oh yeah, probably a good thing. And they sang a new song. A new song. A song of praise. In fact, 158 times in Scripture are commands that we sing to God, praising Him. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Praise Him. Lifting holy hands. I mean, folks, all through Scripture. The cause for praise is Him, Himself. A joyful heart that resides in us. The character as new creations. We have a new song. And multiple times it says we have a new song. Why? Because we're always changed from now on. We're different. We're a new creation. We see things from a different perspective. Without Christ, we had no hope. With Him, we have all hope. We've totally been changed, and we sing a new song. And then there's the connection. We are connected to our salvation. In other words, Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3 says it like this. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. What does that mean, Craig? Hayden? Steamboat? No. It's the place where I used to live. And the place where anything that I wanted was about me. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, named Jesus, by the way, and gave me a firm place to stand. And He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Do you see what the last part of that says? They're not going to just see the Lord by knowing that you go to church. No, that's not going to faze anybody. What's going to faze somebody, what's going to make them realize that what you have is really real, is when they see your joyful heart giving praise to God wherever you go, in every place that you are. How about the choir? There's going to be a day when we're all going to be in the choir. If you know Jesus Christ. The choir is every person that's been changed. We in one unison voice and in great harmonies ought to be lifting up the Lord in praise. Folks, I believe with all my heart that the proclamation of God's Word is important, but if there's not praise, then most people won't even hear it. And it's so important that we spend time singing and praising the Lord. Then there's the outward result. Look at verse 20 back in Ephesians chapter 5. Always giving thanks to God the Father for what? For everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks to God. Who else could save you? Who else could forgive you? Who else could be the perfect sacrifice for you and for me? Nobody else. No one else could do this. But there was one who did. The one and only Jesus Christ. And we ought to be giving thanks for that. I don't know about you, but I try to thank the Lord all the time for the fact that He did that for me. I didn't deserve it. I deserved the exact opposite. But He did that for me. And no one else could have saved me. Nobody else could completely forgive me and pay my sin debt. Nobody else could be the perfect Lamb of God sacrificed for me but Jesus Himself. So how can I walk around acting like nothing's happened? I ought to be so full of joy that people see me on the way coming towards them and going like, whoa, something's happening in that guy. We ought to be giving thanks to God, the Father, because we are now His children. In fact, the Scripture says we've been adopted by God Himself. Now, I can tell you something. I've been adopted. When I was 13 years old, after my real father had taken his own life, my mom remarried, and there was a man that came into my life who became my father, gave me my name. My last name is Compton because of him. Didn't used to be. I guess I used to be a lot more akin to Marcus because my last name used to be Johnson. But he came in and he adopted me. And I never once felt like he wasn't my dad. He was an amazing man. He loved me unconditionally, even after he knew me. And I thank the Lord for him all the time. I was adopted by him. But you've been adopted, and I've been adopted by God himself. Romans chapter 8. Verse 15, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry out now, Abba, Father. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, because you are now His sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. You see, God adopted us. We're now His children. He's our Father. We ought to be giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. That's exactly what it says. It says in verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. For everything. For His goodness to us, for His salvation, for His forgiveness, for His blessings, and yes, even for His trials. Here comes James again. Yes, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. In other words, everything that God allows into our life, He allows for a purpose. And it's not a bad purpose. It's always for His good purpose. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says, rejoice in the Lord every once in a while. No. Rejoice in the Lord most of the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And by the way, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. If you didn't get it the first time, get it the second time. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, rejoicing in your heart, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all of our comprehension and understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, we get so frustrated and upset about all kinds of things. But it's simply because we're walking in the flesh rather than walking in the Spirit and being filled by Him. So it says, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there's no other name that we could call on. There's no other name given to man by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I think this is the one that says that salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place, gave Him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, if we can't sing about what God has done for us and who He is, then what else is there worth singing about? What else is there worth rejoicing about? So let me just say this in conclusion tonight. If we catch ourselves walking around down, upset, bothered, whatever else, let that just be a reminder to us that we're walking in the flesh. It's kind of the litmus paper test. You look in the mirror and you see somebody growling back at you. Guess what? We're not walking in the Spirit. We're not being filled by Him. We've compartmentalized Him. We've pushed Him to a point somewhere inside of us. And I'll tap into that whenever I get ready, Lord. He doesn't work that way. He wants all of us. He wants complete control. Because it is in that complete control He can do what He wants to do inside all of us. And you know what He wants to do? He wants to bring others to Him. He wants to adopt every single person in this world. And we are His instruments. We are His ambassadors. We ought to be so full of joy. Full of joy. Father, help us get rid of ourselves. Die to ourselves. Crucify our flesh. And be alive only unto You so that Your Spirit can wield the beautiful Spirit of Jesus Christ through us so that people can see and acknowledge and understand how much You really do love them. Lord, we give out so many different vibes in our life. Father, we need to be full of joy. Our hearts ought to be rejoicing every single day about what You've done for us. Help us do that, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.